chilling on the West Coast is Brian X, the Cat Wrangler, historian Cody McCasklin. We have our Corey McCasklin, guy amusing these days. Comms officer Professor Von Mothersbaugh, our basket waving engineer.
This is Jim Sklavunis of the Vanity Set, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Charles Haler of Coxsackie, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I guess
Gig talk.
Live on the radio, on the internet, and I'm watching myself in a canopy of pizzazz behind Kevin Shea, remembering a moment of gig relaxation.
Isn't that the name of your autobiography? Canopy of Pizzazz?
Canopy of Pizzazz? That's a good, that's not a bad title for my, the motel memoir.
Repertoire
of Panoply. Panoply of Pizzazz. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, this is Gig Talk, and we've generally been a show that deals with day-to-day gig reality. But because the gig reality is gone, we've had to become creative.
So and we're not very good at that. You know, creativity to us comes, you know, somewhat of a surprise. We're used to just 9-to-5, just like rigmarole, just we're kind of invest ourselves in that life. But we're just taking off into another plane, right?
Medium plane. I mean, like middle plane.
Like a Learjet or something.
Yeah, Learjet. We're not jumbo jet, and we're not like one engine cockpit little like scooter plane.
Scooter plane. Well, that's like Ryanair style. They don't even have a cabin anymore. It's just like a scooter and with wings on it.
Yeah, well, that's similar to my idea that I really thought was a good idea, that the budget Ryan airplane would just be the plane doesn't stop. You get a parachute. And when the plane is close to Paris, they would say, anyone who wants to jump now, time to jump. And then the plane would head towards Cologne, and then people would jump out by Cologne. And then the plane would go towards Hamburg. And then the people in the parachute would go and jump out there. And where would the plane be headed next, Kevin?
Well, I'm just like, first of all, of course I'd be going to Zanzibar and a little foreshadowing. But I'm saying in that vicinity, though, let's say you're over Paris and Ryanair says time to get out. Like, what's the ratio of location? Like, how close are you to, say, like Eiffel Tower?
I'm gonna
Are you going to be 50 miles away? Within 50 miles? Is it within 100
miles? Well, first off, it's not miles in Europe, dummy. Use the metric system.
Oh, so it's inches. How many inches are you?
Not inches.
The metric system, it's inches.
Inches
in the States, we do miles. What?
Inches is not the metric system.
Yeah, it is. How many inches are you away? Like, if I drive to Chicago from Brooklyn, I'm like, how many inches is it? I know it's about a 12-hour drive, but how many inches?
In inches.
It's about 800 miles. 850 miles
is 850 miles. Let's see. That would be 5.386 E plus 7.
See, that's way more accurate than a kilometer or a mile. I think if you just, people want to get detailed these days. We're now down to the gritty nitty, you know what I'm saying? It's time for us to get really into these numbers.
Yeah, but see, you were wrong there. I just Googled, are inches part of the metric system? And according to Google, which, you know, I believe in Google, I don't know if you're a Google truther or not, most countries use the metric system, which uses the measuring units such as meters and grams, and adds prefixes like kilo, milli. In the United States, we use the older imperial system when things are measured in feet, inches, and pounds. So,
see, that was part of my joke, though, was that inches. Like, normally you would say, oh, if you're talking about miles, then we have to talk kilometers in Europe. But my point was that if we're talking about miles, we have to talk inches. And see, that's how my brain is working these days. It's super detailed, you know. It's OCD style. In the I live in a neighborhood where I don't have any friends, you know. So these are the kind of things we got to do on Gig Talk today, too, right? That's what we're talking about. Detailed.
Well, so today on Gig Talk, and the phone number for anyone that wants to call is 518-622-2598. The topic of the show tonight is a fantasy topic.
What's like a fantasy? Not R-rated or X-rated fantasy. It's more of like a kind of just a fantasy about PG or maybe even G-rated fantasy.
Well, what's your G-rated fantasy, Kevin? Let's hear that.
My G-rated fantasy would be a combination of pleatherette mixed with maybe like I'd call it maybe a tricycle. So it'd be a tricycle covered in leatherette, and it'd be a pink leatherette, and then there'd be a stuffed bunny rabbit riding it. What's yours?
My G-rated fantasy is just to eat some roasted sesame ice cream from Tokyo.
Okay. Fantasy, it is just a fantasy.
Yeah.
That's another foreshadowing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel the pressure of wanting to have that ice cream and know I can't have it.
I mean, it's not like you're a stranger to me, but sometimes the way you're talking to me, you know, it gets, you know, these glass houses that we have to talk through are, you know, sometimes a little challenging.
And I mean, I live downtown and my friend is an uptown girl, so it gets really problematic to hang out.
I feel like we're really getting close now to the fire has turned on. Sort of like a winter Norwegian. We're in Oslo right now. We're outside for a while in our like large winter coats. We're trying to get warm. You know, we're getting toasty here.
And we're also wearing tzitzis.
What's a tzitzis?
And camouflage.
A zit suit?
No, you see, you don't know what tzitzis are. Tzitzis,
I know what a zits
are.
The,
you don't know what zits are. You know what zits are. But tzitzis is a traditional Jewish a thing you wear around your waist, and it's kind of like a chain wallet.
Oh, see, but now we're even getting real close. It's getting we're talking about Jewishness. We're talking about you know, pressure. We're talking, I mean, how much closer are we? Next thing, we're going to talk about cities, you know, being naked in the cities.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the River of Dreams.
We're going to start talking about, you know, being a baron in life, just like taking over, you know?
Yeah. So the topic of Gig Talk, if you hadn't figured it out yet, is if Billy Joel and John Zorn collaborated, what would that collaboration be?
Yeah. And you know, it's a good question. And there's so many different angles to look at this topic.
Yeah. Yeah, to start the topic, I'm just going to play a little bit of Billy Joel's music and John Zorn's music at the same time. Oh. And we're going to like just give that a shot.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Is this going to work?
Yeah, it's going to work.
So bad. Wonder Woman with your long red hair. You
Yeah. So that's like the most obvious way the collaboration would be going down, is you would just be having John Zorn doing his thing and Billy Joel doing his thing. But we want you to get creative, listeners. 518-622-2598. Tell us what you think the collaboration would be. I'm going to hold on to my idea of what the collaboration would be till later, because I don't want to spill my beans.
Well, can I just mention what you just played Attila right there, which is pre-Billy Joel solo, which comes after the Hassles, that Billy Joel's band from 64 to 69 was the Hassles. And then John Small, they went on to form Attila in 69, I think. And 69 to 70 was Attila. And Attila was, to a lot of people, just a total, complete disaster. And they said, one of the quotes is, "Attila undoubtedly is the worst album released in rock and roll history. Hell, the history of recorded music itself. There have been many bad ideas in rock, but none match the colossal stupidity of Attila." And I don't agree with that statement. I think Attila's probably some of his best work. Wonder Woman is an amazing track. It's got that full grit too of the analog audio. I just wanted to say that before we move on. You know, you got to give a shout out to Attila. So, and good choice with Attila.
I'm going to give a shout out to our friend Andy Lampert, who is right now participating in his own live stream event, where Issue Project Room is hosting an event that he's doing of field recordings that he's made. And he asked, or I asked, and he gave me permission to tune into his stream while we're on Gig Talk.
Listen, Mark, by the time I get to one, I want you to have clothes on. Ready?
Three.
I'm starting at three.
Three. Two.
Uh-oh.
Two. Listen. Okay.
Now let's add Dorn and Joel back to this. We'll just keep Andy's music on in the background.
Yeah, but turn it down a little bit.
Yeah, I'll turn it down a little. It's too hot in the volume.
Well, for me, I can't.
There we go.
If I do this, can you hear this?
I can't hear anything, though.
Oh, you can't hear that?
No.
How about now?
I hear a little of that. But look, we got to get some calls talking about whether Billy Joel and what Billy Joel and John Zorn would be doing. I mean, I can read the Facebook comments, but that's not so exciting.
Well, I got some ideas.
Yeah, lay us out some ideas, son.
All right. I feel like if you're talking about Zorn and Joel, you got two Jewish cultural icons, you know, and they're both born in New York City.
One from Queens, one from Long Island.
Yeah, they're both New York City. They're both about the same age. Zorn's 66. Joel's is 70 now.
And, okay, yes.
So they're basically almost the same person.
Almost exactly the same person, yeah.
Because they're both
sense.
Composers. They both had bands. And now, if we're talking, my favorite Zorn band would be Naked City. And that's like a five-piece band. And then you've got my favorite Joel band is from 77 to 86. And that's also... Well, that's a six-piece band. But I think...
Well, minus one person. Like, it's Joel plus five.
Right, yeah, because it's two guitar players in Joel's band from 77 to 86.
Yeah.
But so there's things we could do. We could compare the players of those two bands. I mean, you have to decide what your favorite Zorn era is, too. But
I'm going to go with the era of 99 to 03 when the Zorn, Modesty, Rebo, and Kenny Wollison band was full in effect.
Oh, wow. You're going later.
Later, yeah. And that band might be the closest to Attila. So the real question is, and if anyone out there knows Jay-Z or Joel, can we get some info to find out if Attila was influential for Zorn? And if then Billy Joel, in about 89, 90, did he hear Naked City at the Knitting Factory?
Well, I'm saying that, like, my question is... You know, I feel like some of the Zorn records, they miss out on that analog taste, and did that partially influences why I like some of his earlier stuff. But what about that era? That was pretty full on CD era. Did Zorn record analog in the late 90s?
So I think you're talking about the sound of the heavy reverb on records like Spy vs. Spy, right? Like,
well, I don't even know if that. I think you got to go back to, like, my favorite Zorn album is the first one.
Locus Solus?
What?
Locus Solus?
No, Yankees with Derek Bailey and George Lewis from 83.
Yeah, that's, well, Locus Solus is material from 80, 81, live at CBGB.
See, I don't even know that. I don't have that one.
Oh, see, yeah, I bought that from Bruce Galanter at Downtown Music Gallery when I was 17 or 16 years old. Shout out to Bruce at DMG. How you doing?
What's up? What you doing?
Yeah. Are you listening, Bruce? Call up.
Wait, so I'm saying, though, that, you know, you got these early analog sound. I feel like he lost that. And even with the Naked City, you know, 89, 93, you got that hardcore miniatures. And you'd paste that on, right on top of, you know, some Attila. And then,
well, let's try and do, I got an idea. Let's do another Joel and Zorn collaboration.
I think you should add, I got a couple tracks you could try.
Oh, yeah? You going to send them to me?
How do I do that?
I don't know. You got to send me a message, dude.
Oh, I can chat on here, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I can chat. So, no, I think that, what, you know, we got these two composers.
Yeah, and it's TikTok, by the way. It's 518-622-2598. Call us. Let us know what's up.
I think we can talk about both of the comparisons between the two of them, like about the breaking barriers on a global scale, their legacy, their cultural impact.
That was a mix of Naked City and my favorite Billy Joel song, You May Be Wrong, You May Be Right.
Which is also from the same era as my favorite Billy Joel era, which is 77 to 86.
Okay. Well, let's hear, what's your favorite song? You know, the way you get to do what I'm doing with the music is you got to go to Zoom. Oh, no, you got to go to a meeting, and then you got to go to share. And then you can select share audio from the computer, like, because I'm showing you're sharing computer sound. But yeah, let's get some calls out here. 518-622-2598. Tell us either what your G-rated fantasy is, or tell us what you think your the collaboration between Billy Joel and John Zorn would be. If anyone's out there in the listening audience that knows Billy or John, give them a call. Maybe we can get John Zorn on the phone.
Well, I got a couple thoughts between the
two. Okay, yeah. Come up with some more thoughts.
Like, the idea is that what would they sound like together in a collaboration, right? But I think there's also a couple of questions we could ask. Like, who's the bigger badass?
Yes.
So I mean, Joel, like you got Billy Joel taking a helicopter to play Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
How does Zorn get to his gigs?
Probably in a taxi.
See, that's what I'm saying. Who went to Russia in the 80s and brought, you know, the Americans over there in terms of rock and roll music to the Russians for the first time?
That's definitely Joel.
See, I'm just wondering, like, there's some questions we have to ask. Is this
But who brought the Japanese noise underground to the USA?
Well, but Billy Joel had been to Japan long before John Zorn.
Yeah, but Joel didn't bring Yamatsuka Eye to New York to play at the Knitting Factory.
Well, let's talk about if we're going to get into that vibe of Naked City versus Billy Joel's band from 77 to 86. You know, you got Billy Joel versus Yamatsuka Eye. You got Billy Joel on keyboards versus Wayne Horvitz. You got Liberty DeVito versus Joey Barron. You got Doug Stegmaier on bass guitar versus Fred Fifth. Russell Javers on rhythm and lead guitars versus Bill Frisell.
Caller, are you there?
Kanata on saxophones versus John Zorn on saxophones. And David Brown lead guitar versus also Bill Frisell. So, you know, if you want to talk about the players, we can do that. We can talk about what the impact was of bringing Yamatsuka Eye.
Oh, we have a phone call.
I think we have a phone call. Caller, can you hear us? Can you hear us, caller?
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah, there you
go. Can you hear us?
How you doing? Love your show.
How you doing?
I hear you in the distance, like a in the distance.
Just talk, caller. We'll listen.
Turn your radio down, caller.
Okay. Oh, hold on.
He's got the radio on, so there's an endless echo.
Maybe it's Billy Joel.
I can't really hear him. Tell him to do the SOS thing into the sky like the bat.
He went to turn his radio down. Are you back?
Yeah.
He's back.
I'm back.
It's so distant. I don't know why. Is that me or is that... Can you hear that?
No.
Let's see how we're going in here.
Yeah, this is the first time that I heard you on a radio here.
That's good.
I'm a WGXC listener.
Oh, cool. You're a WGXC listener. And are you intrigued by the topic tonight?
Oh, yes. Forget about it.
What?
Forget about it.
Oh, you don't know what the topic is?
No.
That's the wind.
What's that?
Oh, forget about it. Did he hang up? No.
Well,
caller, we're trying to talk about what John Zorn and Billy Joel would do if they were in a collaboration. What's your opinion?
I'm not interested in that.
What? I kind of want to hear you in that trio, you know, Billy Joel and John Zorn. You want voice, because I can't, it sounds like a distorted, just like Bliss, Neil Young style.
Yeah, so what's that? Let's talk about something else.
I like it. I don't even know what you're saying. Just do it.
Sing us your favorite Billy Joel song.
Yeah, sing your favorite Billy Joel song. Sing Uptown Girl.
Whoa.
Uptown Girl.
Caller, sing it.
I'm not going to sing that song. Because I'm not interested in that style.
What's that?
I would not ever sing that song because I'm not interested in Billy Joel.
Oh, are you more interested in John Zorn?
Who?
Do you know who John Zorn is? He's an avant-garde saxophone player.
No, I like Led Zeppelin.
Okay. Yep.
Sing it.
Are you a musician?
I'm an artist, but I'm not a musician.
Okay, well, how are you doing in this show? It's called Gig Talk, and we talk about gig life, but gig life isn't really happening right now, so we're having to be creative. How are you being creative?
I'm just doing my artwork.
Describe your artwork.
I'm a still life and scenery.
Say that again, please.
I do still life and scenery.
Okay, still life and scenery. Well, there's less to paint, I suppose, these days. Is that true?
Excuse me?
There's less images to paint because there's not as many things that are happening.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just talk. Tell us about how your art has changed during the pandemic.
Oh, my artwork. I just do my scenery and whatever.
Has and the scenery whatever. Changed during the pandemic?
What's that?
Has the scenery changed during the pandemic?
Oh, my God.
Led Zeppelin.
Not so much.
What's your favorite Led Zeppelin song?
Whole Lot of Love.
Whole Lot of Love.
You know what? With that song, I didn't know how cool the break is where they basically dub it all out, because I used to only hear that song in bars, and you wouldn't be able to hear the exquisite detail of that whole big breakdown.
Do you like that song?
What do you think about that, caller?
Play Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah, Whole Lot of Love.
Let's hear what Whole Lot of Love sounds like with Billy Joel and John Zorn and Andy Lampert together. So I'm going to get some music going. So far is the way I'm cutting up the sound is very Zorn-like. I think John would appreciate the cut-up pastiche. So we're not really getting to the heart of a true collaboration.
Oh, you're talking about the hardcore miniatures that he does.
Yeah, caller, are you still there? Oh, he hung up.
Chuck, are you still there? I think we've lost him.
Okay, well, it's 518-622-2598, and we're trying to parse what would a collaboration between Billy Joel and John Zorn sound like.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Billy Cancel. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
What's up? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm in rude health.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
No,
what's
that means
wrong?
Good health. That means rude means I'm in like good health.
Oh,
so
cool.
Good, I
yeah,
can be
awesome.
Rude.
We love that.
Yeah.
Are you a musician?
No, I'm not. But I do have a good idea for the Billy Joel John Zorn collaboration.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so I was thinking of like a kind of a live double album where there could be like each one could sample like the best of the other's world. So here's my idea. So the first half of the live recording is Madison Square Gardens, but John Zorn makes everyone who goes in have their cell phones confiscated so they can't record the show.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, you just get a few extra staff on the door and that will sort it. And then for the second half, I thought, you know how like Billy Joel likes to go to Madison Square Gardens and then fly in and can actually fly back home to go to toilet?
Yes.
Well, I thought of having like the second half in what's now like the defunct glove. And Billy Joel would have to fly there by helicopter to use the toilet there.
And that would be on the record somehow?
I mean, I'd put it like in like the notes, but like, so you'd have like half the set at Madison Square Gardens, the other half at the glove, and you would get like the, I think like the different like venues and like the sense of the live experience would, I'd like to think it would seep through onto the record.
I dig that. Now, when you bring up that John Zorn played at the glove, how did that make you feel?
How does it make me feel?
Yeah. Did you feel that that was a validation of the glove, that John Zorn would be there? Or did you feel that that was a cheap canard at the end of that venue closing and it really didn't serve a purpose?
Was it a cash cow for the owners of the glove so they could go off and like buy a new apartment?
I don't know. It seems so long ago now.
Yeah. I mean, the glove was one of those types of places that no social distancing was observed.
No smoking rules.
Well, there was certainly social distancing when my band did a show there. There'd be about two people about 30 yards apart. So
yeah, that's
true. Like a front runner.
But listen to this. I think the answer for this moment of how we're going to get gigs back is that we have to utilize arenas like Madison Square Garden. And when an artist like Billy Joel would usually sell out that venue, if it was announced that he is going to play with John Zorn, 2/3 of the venue's capacity of Billy Joel fans would not show up. And so as a result of that, about 6,000 people would come to the concert. And I think that's likely the amount of people maximum, maybe in the world, that really want to hear a Billy Joel, John Zorn concert.
Or you could have it like a kind of drive-in cinema of old, where people could drive in their cars into Madison Square Gardens and go bumper to bumper, and that would satisfy the social distancing.
Like a drive-in movie.
Pack on a bit for the parking.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Caller, thank you. We're going to take some more calls. And,
don't blame you.
We'll check in later. Thanks for calling.
Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that was good, man. You know, like, that's a true statement that, yeah, when I played at the glove, it was definitely social distancing too. It was about two people. So.
Oh, yeah, I played there multiple times when it was packed.
Oh, really? I'm impressed. We never played there.
Oh, wait, we have a caller. You're on the air.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Hello, caller.
Are you there? Oh.
Hello.
I think it's John Zorn playing something.
Can't hear it, anything. I can only hear the sound of my own internal badassery.
Yeah, just like the glove at the glove. When you'd play their
broken
drums.
Hey, you guys hear that? You guys hear that?
Oh, that. Yeah. Hey, is that, who is this? Is that Vinny?
It's Vin.
Hey, Vin, what's Vin? Up?
What you doing? We missed you.
Hey, what's up? Did you hear that? I made a little mix-up of Zorn and Captain Jack.
I can't really hear it.
You couldn't hear it?
No.
If you got Matt Motel's information, you could send over the files. He can play it.
Yeah,
it's hard to
hear. Email it to us. We'll premiere it on our Instagram.
All right. So we don't got to do it yet.
Yeah.
So, I want to hear that. What was it? Tell us what it was. We can imagine.
Tell us about your process, Vin.
That was Captain Jack. You know that song? Billy Joel song?
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
Captain Jack will get you high tonight, take you to your special island with classic guided strategy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good mix-up.
The real thing, you know, if you ask any of the real heads, not to, you know, litigate the sins of the past, but the real heads from 86 at the Mitt, Dorf and all those guys would say the more interesting collab would be with me, Vin, and Billy Joel.
Yeah, how would that break down? Like, so we know some of Billy Joel's legendary albums. Like, what kind of comparison would you make? What albums would you like to share of yours with Joel, for example? What era?
Any era would work pretty good, you know, honestly. But I think my newest work is more song-based, a little suburban Long Island like him.
Mm.
You know, a little less of the grit of the city. A little less Dyka, a little bit more Massapequa, Oyster Bay kind of thing. Diastic.
Yeah, that. I mean, where did you record your latest work? Did you ever, were you like a fan of Joel's work with Phil Ramone or any of that stuff?
I recorded this new record of Sia Sound on March the 2nd, right before coronavirus.
Did you ever produce
it? Yeah, who produced it?
Bocelli.
Who?
Who?
Mark Acelli.
Oh, Mark Acelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man. What is your newest work about? I mean, maybe we could even like attempt to put this on air right now. What's the details behind the concept behind your latest work?
It's the kind of maybe song based kind of thing.
Are you singing on this one?
No. You hear this?
Oh, yeah, now we're hearing it.
Yeah.
I'm the principal trumpet. Oh, you're hearing that? Then let's try the other thing real quick, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
But if any... Oh, wait.
Big.
Ah, beautiful.
But see, here's what my criticism is so far of the process, and I'm guilty of this too, Vin, is I feel like when we've been thinking about what a collaboration is, we've just been putting Zorn's music and Joel's music together and creating a new pastiche. And
well,
pastiche
honestly,
is what Zorn already does.
Very
I don't
true.
Know if he calls it pastiche, though. He calls it hardcore miniatures.
Hardcore miniatures. Well, honestly, his newest work sounds like Santana. With, you know, with Rebo, and he's conducting Joey Barron. It's a complete caricature.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Santana and Attila shared bills together back in 69, the year after the Summer of Love. Tell us about your experiences in the Summer of Love, Vin.
I'll tell you more about my experiences with the Summer of Sin.
Okay, 77.
Yeah. 77, you know, the blackout. Whoa,
yeah.
No lights on. Right?
Yeah. Where were you in the blackout? About?
So Guy was going around in Flushing, you know, killing brown-haired girls. And I had brown hair. I wasn't a girl, but I wore it long back then. That was the style. And then one night there was no lights on. That's my experience. And it was crazy. I mean, whoa. I was trying to go out, couldn't go out, and then the lights were off. I mean, what more do you want to know? I mean, whoa. And it was a different place back then. You know what I mean?
My dad described that during the blackout of 77, he was involved in an orgy, and no one said thank you.
Well, that's very rude.
Did you ever come across Rodney Dangerfield back in the day? Were you a friend of him? Friend
no.
of his?
No. Is he a professional baseball player?
Yeah, he was a comedian. He had Dangerfields. I just thought you guys might have like crossed paths. But I don't know if people know, but we're talking to the legendary Vinny Bianchi here, the euphonium king from Diker Heights. Just want to lay that out.
Thanks
there.
Thanks for the intro again.
And Vin, you want to know what my what I think the collaboration would be between Billy Joel and John Zorn?
I really do. I really do.
Okay, here it is, folks. It would be a plate of pastrami and corned beef from Ben's
from
Best
Deli
in Queens.
Oh, from the deli in Queens. Which one?
Ben's Best Deli.
Ben's Best.
Yeah, like they're everyone's thinking their collaboration is going to be about music. I'm saying the collaboration is going to be a sandwich. And eating
and
a sandwich
Madison
together.
Where did Madison Square Garden come in? Where did the 6,000 people come in?
Well, that maybe 6,000 people would watch Billy Joel and John Zorn on a stage eat sandwiches together.
That creates some misophonic unpleasantness that I think a lot of people these days have gotten grown accustomed to not appreciating all the sounds, you know? They're cutting out some of the sounds they don't want to hear.
No, but maybe the concert would happen after they ate sandwiches and it broke bread. So, Vin, do you think Joel's more of a corned beef guy or a pastrami guy? Who's going to fight for which sandwich, which meat?
I think Lord Z is pastrami, Billy is corned beef. And here's what I want to say. I want to see Zorn with the shaved head and a goatee and Joel in the camel pants with the tzitzit.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. See, yeah, you and Vin, you knew what the tzitzit. Explain to Kevin what the tzitzit is.
It's a little.
Is he not a Jew?
It's a little. Neither am I. It's a little Jewish. I used to shtup a Jewish girl to use the term they use. It's a little, you know, little lace.
It's strings that hang out all around your like waist.
Around your legs.
Yeah, it's like a chain wallet.
It's like the proto chain wallet, exactly. It's like 1996, but forever, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's like
an eternal chain wallet.
That's not
it's
a
like
Jewish
FUBU,
thing.
FUBU pants.
No, the
on the
tzitzis are.
Yeah, tzitzit are. Yeah.
Tzitzit? You're talking Greek cheese?
You got it, yeah. T-S-I-T-S-I or something.
We're talking about
P-S-I.
T-S-I.
Right?
Total something important.
But Vin, I think you are onto something that, if Zorn was shaved head with a goatee and wore a big fat suit, and if Joel wore the camo and the tzitzis, they would at least start embodying something new.
It would be, they'd be in business.
Yeah. Do you think Issue Project Room will promote this concert?
If Zev is listening, he hasn't been returning my emails for years, but if he's listening, he would. And Suzanne would have done it in a heartbeat, right?
Yes,
oh,
I agree. Yeah, Suzanne would have, like, green-lit this show, but you don't think Zev would have given the green light to Zorn and Joel?
Why
not?
Zev's at home right now watching The Green Book.
Yeah, what's
say
up that with
again.
That book?
It's the movie with Viggo Mortensen.
Wait, so what do you think about the kitchen though? How would that work out with Zorn and
they're not
and Joel.
Doing anything.
I mean,
Staley
here's a question:
might do it. Staley might do it.
Would Liberty Staley DeVito be able to sub for Joey Barron on a gig, and would Joey Barron be able to sub for Liberty on a gig?
No way. DeVito kicks Joey Barron's volume off the charts. Well,
really
DeVito
does.
Is like an actual heavy hitter. There's no way that Liberty or Joey could pull off that gig.
What Billy Joel should be doing is hiring Kevin Shea.
Who's that?
There you go. Yeah. Go Vin. Yeah. Plug Kevin's drumming. Let's see if we can get Kevin hired by Billy Joel. And check this out. I'm going to play a little bit of Kevin playing Billy Joel's music. Are you ready to hear some?
Who is that? I don't even know who that is. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Kevin, your fill is on point, I got to say.
I mean, that's like some people grew up in, you know, New Orleans. Some people grew up, you know, in the deep south, in the Nashville. I grew up, you know, in Minnesota and Seattle. You know, I grew up in Chicago. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up in Boston, you know. And that deep Joel sound is integrated into my soul. I don't know what to do. So when I hit those triplets, I gotta feel it, you know, deep from the innards. I can't even explain where that comes from.
And what did you think about that demo tape right there? You think we have a shot, Vinny, to get a gig in Long Island?
You definitely got a shot to get a gig in Long Island, for sure.
Let's hear a little more. Wow. I mean, wow. We got to give credit to Colin Langenith on guitar right there for giving that chugga chugga happening. Who's your favorite chugga chugga guitar player, Vinny?
I probably got to say Adam Kane.
Adam Kane, he's a masterful chugga chugga player.
He's one of the greatest chugga chuggas. And then we got Namonworth after that.
Yes,
Namonworth. Hell yes. Yeah.
What about
who's better,
Keith
Frizzell
Rowe?
Or what?
Keith
who's
Rowe.
Better, Frizzell and Namonworth?
Yeah, Namonworth or Keith Rowe. Who do you go for?
Namonworth. For prepared, Namonworth. For melodic, Rowe.
Okay, yeah.
Who's better?
Hendrix or Namonworth?
Namonworth. Namonworth rewrote the book, the Green Book.
What about Russell Javers from the early Billy Joel band versus Bill Frisell?
What about Russell Javers versus Namonworth?
Oh, there you go. I mean, you got two different styles of music there.
Namonworth, if you're listening, Vinny Bianchi and Dyker Heights wants to play with you. Give me a call, 718-3264-11.
What's the name of that guitar player? What's the name of the Joel guitar player?
There's several, but this guy's named Russell Javers, J-A-V-O-R-S. He played rhythm and lead guitars.
Okay,
and
well,
he got
folks,
David Brown, too.
We're going to get a little bit of Russell playing with Aaron Namonworth on YouTube.
There you go. See, this is his
eyes. Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say that Namonworth, you're correct, is better than this JV Russell Javers.
Oh man, you gotta play his like hit tracks, his solos.
Don't Russell even Javers that, solo album.
Namonworth is on another plane, bro.
What about DeVito? We talk about guitar, but we gotta move on to the drummer, Libby DeVito. Check out "Get It Right the First Time" on The Stranger.
Have you ever heard Namonworth on the Tubbs?
What?
No, I've never heard that. But let's get a little Joey Barron solo versus Liberty DeVito solo.
Liberty DeVito, "Get It Right the First Time." Play that track.
Yeah, hold on.
Let's play Kevin Shea at the Merge Festival.
I mean, I'm impressed by both of them. Like, that's why initially when I thought about this idea, Vin, I thought we should do Zorn versus Joel. But I'm not about negativity right now.
That's not negative to pit them against each other. That, you know what that does? That inspires our blood vessels to expand. We get a little oxygen. This is what we need. We need to be heated up a little bit.
Wait, so are you saying that the topic next week should be Jorn versus
Zol? Jorn versus Zol?
Did you hear that? Did you hear that drum solo? That was Kevin Shea at the Moose Festival. Did you hear that?
Wait, say that again.
This is Kevin at the Moose Festival.
I mean, who is that guy? Who is it? He's a percussionist?
That's way better than Joey Barron.
We got to get, like, pit that against the entertainer from Joel's record.
He was born in Korea, and he is now a staple of the Los Angeles comedy scene. Really funny guy. Make him feel welcome. Kevin Shea.
Oh, he's a comedian.
Los Angeles comedy scene. Really funny guy. Make him feel welcome. Kevin Shea. Staple of the Los Angeles comedy scene. Really funny guy. Make him feel welcome. Kevin Shea. Staple of the Los Angeles comedy scene.
I am the entertainer, and I know just where I stand. Another serenader, and another long-haired band. Today I am the champion.
I mean,
DeVito's take on Vin's drum on that particular tune is totally influenced by the improvised community. He's all over the
Vin's
place.
Vin's got to say something real quick. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening. Do it.
Somebody was calling last week saying they was me or some guy from Dyka, which is so off base and inappropriate. It gives me a bad name. It besmirches me to have imitators and ripoffs.
Look, I mean, I can't like screen the calls and like make people not be who they are. I think it's just true that there are other euphonium players from Dyker Heights, Vin. That's what the truth is.
I don't think you said Dyker.
Then why don't they ever show their face at Indigo Murphy's? Ever. Ever.
I don't even know if he's from Dyker Heights, though. Is that the case?
They was from Dyker Heights. Didn't they say that last week, Matt, or not?
No, I don't think he said he was from Dyker.
He won't get his name.
What did he say he's from?
He just said he was a euphonium player in the Union.
Well, then why is he trying to steal my story?
His whole thing is that he's really had a rough time. I mean, like, you've had a rough time, but he's been, like, he talks about getting beat up and having a rough time on drugs, all kind of stuff, getting stuck in a trunk of a car. You know, I mean, you should meet this guy because we don't even know his name. He won't even tell us his name.
Maybe we can organize a live stream with the two of you.
Well, where is
he? Yeah, we should. Next week, let's get you both on the line.
Is he listening right now?
Well, we only got 4 more minutes. We don't know if he's listening.
We're giving you all this airtime tonight, Vin, if you want to end with any inspiration or critiques or complaints. How did you get your pandemic unemployment?
Bro, I did not get my unemployment at all. I want to read some lyrics, some Billy Joel lyrics, okay?
Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
For the longest time. For the longest. If you said goodbye to me tonight, there would still be music left to write. What else could I do? I'm so inspired by you. That hasn't happened for the longest time. Once I thought my innocence was gone, now I know my happiness goes. Now you guys got to say the next line. Happiness goes.
For the longest time.
That's when you found me. When you put your arms around me. I haven't been there for the longest time. And I haven't gotten the unemployment insurance for the longest time. And I'm starting to get a little bit dark about that.
Well, I got to say, you got to hang in and then maybe reapply, because I just reapplied and it worked.
Oh, it did?
Oh, you...
Yeah. I filled out the form a second time. Second form.
Both
and
of
that
them
was are... the same one, the pandemic unemployment. It's so just try a second time, Vin, and check in with us next week. Because we're about to be...
Yeah, we got like 2 minutes left. You got to play the beginning of that track with the drummer, Liberty DeVito. But Vin,
just as well, because after a while and 1,000 miles, it all becomes the same.
This has been Gig Talk today. It's been pretty fun. We'll see you next week.
We love you. It's Gig Talk 2020.
Stay safe.
Keep it real, folks.
Gig Talk. Gig Talk. Gig Talk.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Gig Talk.
Yeah, Tom, maybe there's a